we all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome. I'm Laura Rowley. You're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. You can listen every Friday at 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen online or go to your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 radio network is the media partner for Omega Institute. We're coming to you today after a couple of weeks on the road doing beautiful workshops, fantastic workshops. So lots of kudos to the people in Middleburg, Virginia, and Pepperell, Massachusetts. They were the attendees who bravely listened to their animals for all the workshop weekends. And while they did that, they embraced full spectrum intuition. They really went for it. And it was really awesome and, I don't know, inspiring to be a part of that. And I am so grateful for the role I get to have in helping other people feel that their intuition is of value and that what their animals are telling them is real and true. And so that's what those folks did each of those weekends. It was fabulous. The topic on the show today has to do with aging pets. How do we feel good about our role as caretaker, no matter the outcome, is the title. So the show is mostly focused on empathy and how it's a tool that can be used in our worlds. And since our worlds are filled intimately with many people, animals, rocks, and things, but they're also filled with those that we love dearly. So as they age, our role has to change. And that can be painful and pretty scary for people because they really want to do their best and aren't always sure how to do that. I would say that maybe 15% of my calls a week, maybe more, are focused around a pet that is aging and someone's concerned that they are doing what they can do as a caretaker. So I thought this would be a useful talk to share because a lot of you ask the same questions, and so heartfelt questions and wonderful. And I thought I'd sort of give you some practical thoughts about that as well as some more spiritual thoughts about that so that we do a little bit of full spectrum thinking on the show today. It's kind of the puzzlement of pain, really, is a little bit of the topic, which we're going to talk about, which is, you know, it's said that the hardest pain to bear is that of another. And I think that's true. I come to you today with a little bit of an ankle problem. My ankle hurts. I'm not even thinking about it. But my dog didn't feel well when I walked in the door last week, having been gone for a few weeks, because her ear bothered her. So I'm sort of disturbed that her ear's not okay. And I can't attend to her until I'm done with a few obligations this morning. So I'm not even thinking about my own ankle. It's the pain of others. It's her ear that's worrying me. Is she suffering? Does she think I'm ignoring her because I'm in here, well, talking to you instead of taking care of her for the next few minutes? So it's a constant pull on my psyche. And what I find with the people that call me with, you know, individual appointments, and they have a pull on their psyche. They're not really worried how they're feeling or what their concerns are. They're wondering how, you know, their horse is feeling, their dog is feeling. I talked to somebody the other day with a cat that clearly wasn't, you know, feeling well, stopped eating. You know, she said, I can hardly go to work. I don't know what to do. You know, what am I supposed to do? So it's a big puzzle. And, you know, we have to be kind of sensitive to what we need as well as what they need. That's the tricky part of being a caretaker, isn't it? You know, having them in our lives for the full spectrum, the full duration of their lives, no matter what, how old they were when they came to us, most people plan on keeping their animals until, you know, they cross over. And so, you know, how do you show up for them the best way that you can? You know, our pets, well, not all of this is exactly true mathematically, but we live 1 year for, and every time we pass a year, they've passed somewhere between 5 and 7 years, depending on the species. So we watch them go from like being a baby, a puppy, a foal, a kitten, and then, you know, then they're adolescents like within that year. With us, how long does that take? You know, 14 years maybe? Depends on how you define adolescence, I guess. Then the next year they're adults, full-blown adults. Then they go to seniors, and then they go to geriatric, and all of that happens, I don't know, somewhere, depends on the breed, depends a little bit on the genetics, it depends on how stressful their life has been, just like us, you know, but all that happens sometimes within 10 to 14 years, going from babyhood to geriatrichood. So it can be kind of unbelievable for us, I think, as their caretakers. I know that's one of the things that a lot of people call me about. They'll say, my dog's acting strange. I'm calling you because I don't know why. And I'll say, well, suddenly it seems that his knees hurt. And they'll say, oh, no, no. Last spring I had him to the doctor, and the doctor said we did X. Everything was perfect. There was no problem. But maybe last spring was 9 months ago, which for them might have been the equivalent of, you know, 5 years ago. So it's kind of a time warp that is disturbing for us to behold, because suddenly we realize they're aging and they might leave us, and it scares us because we love them. So we kind of go through our whole little fear of abandonment, fear of losing them. You know, a loved one suddenly might not be here long. So lots of times people are in denial. They'll say, oh no, nothing can be wrong like that. And so, you know, I'll explain, well, it's only when they walk down the stairs, and they're okay when they go up the stairs, or, you know, you might want to, you know, address that a little bit. So today I want to talk about some, I don't know, nuts and bolts, very practical kind of things about how to address that. Thinking about it differently means staying sort of flexible yourself. Okay, so you went to the lake in March and they were fine, and now it's October and they're not fine. 6 months has passed. Let yourself be okay with that. And instead of, a lot of people get kind of in denial here, I myself included, you know, we don't want to think of them as getting older. But if they have aged a little bit, just be okay with that and say, well, what can I do differently? So the big question is, you know, am I doing enough? Have I missed something? So try not to buy into the anxiety of that. That's very scary to think about. Like, oh my gosh, they've been in pain all this time and I missed it? Ah! Well, a lot of people get upset about that. And so I always try to calm them down. Like, we know things when we know things. Like, we're doing our best. And now they're really letting you know when they sit down at the bottom of the stairs and soulfully look up at you, like, and you think, well, what's the matter? You always come up the stairs to bed at night with me. What do you mean you don't want to come up? And you know, they'll be upset. They won't come and sleep with me. Well, really, they just can't navigate the stairs anymore. Or they can get up the stairs, but most creatures find it difficult to get back down the stairs because it involves using their knees differently. And just like us, their knees are kind of the first thing that starts to get old in a lot of species, a lot of big dogs particularly. It's actually called their stifles, but it's the knee on the back leg. So try not to be anxious about that you've missed something. Try not to be in denial that you've missed something. One fellow, his wife called, and she said, I don't know what to do. My husband's dog is starting to behave in odd ways, and he does it around my husband all the time. He won't get in the car. He refuses to go for a walk. He'll sit down in the driveway after he puts the leash on. But when I take him for a walk, he limps down the way, and we go for a short walk, and we turn around and come back. And I pet him and tell him how good he is. But it turns out her husband was sort of starting to avoid the problem, because it made him feel awful. He wanted to fix the dog. You know, he wanted him to be okay. So he stopped asking him to go for walks. So then the dog got more dramatic, would lay down like under where he parks his truck so that he wouldn't, in the morning when he went to leave, the dog was under the truck and he was afraid to leave, and he'd have to try to coax him out, and then he'd get mad at him because he had to get to work and the dog is under the truck and it was a big dog, and of course the dog would be just out of reach. So the dog was saying to him, I need your attention, and I think you need to know that it doesn't help to run off to work and go do your to-do list when I need you. And all that needed to happen was the man needed to acknowledge that within his own heart that he was avoiding his loved one who was in need, and start to pick up the cues his wife had already picked up. I mean, we all pick them up at different ages, times, moments in our life based on our schedules and our sense of responsibility. his responsibility was first to feeding his family. And but when I spoke to him maybe 2 weeks later, his wife asked him to phone me himself. You know, and I just said, just forgive yourself for, you know, this dog just adores you. And so he wants you part of this process. So let's figure out how you could be part of this process. And they, you know, that was a great thing. He kind of laughed and he said, oh, I feel better. It feels like a rock got lifted off of my chest when you just said that to me. Because that's all the dog wanted. All this sort of bad behavior on the dog's part, you know, quote, bad behavior, was really him just trying to say, you can't avoid me. You can't neglect me. You can't ignore me just because it's painful to you. So he said, okay. And, you know, we worked out a little plan for what the dog then explained to us what the dog wanted. And, you know, we worked it out so that it was simple for both of them and all the weird behaviors went away. And really everything got, I would call it healed between them emotionally, and it was lovely. So on a nuts and bolts case, some of the things like, that I helped him with were to talk about modifications in the lifestyle of the dog, the lifestyle of the horse, the cat, fill in the blank, the lifestyle of the animal. So some of those things that we kind of rely on them to be the happy-go-lucky creature that they are, when those start to go away, we start to wonder what we're supposed to do. So one of the big things is exercise. A lot like us, as we age, we need to keep moving, but perhaps we need to do it with less intensity or shorten it on days when we're not feeling that well, maybe take a day off here and there. But usually it's not a great idea to just stop exercising or stop moving. And of course, you know, I'm operating under the assumption here that a vet will always tell you, you know, what's a good idea based on an injury or based on, you know, a condition like arthritis or whatever might be going on. So of course your vet's going to give you some guidelines. And so that goes without saying through all of these suggestions that the vet will have, you know, good guidelines. But you need to modify those guidelines based on what you sense. The dog that couldn't come down the stairs, that was a, he was last week I spoke to him, he was a Labrador, and they live in New England, and he would come down the stairs and jump in the pond every day. And it was like a great moment of joy that they all sat on the deck. The dog jumped in and out of the water. They threw stuff for him. They had their coffee. It was their tradition. So he stopped jumping in the water. And he was a water dog and Labrador. They love water, loved his ball. Suddenly he wasn't playing with it at all. So the vet suggested that they just maybe, you know, leave him upstairs, put him in a protected place so that he didn't continue to re-injure the part of himself that he had injured. So that led to his howling and crying and scratching the doors, which is why they were calling me, because they're like, he's ruining the house. We feel awful leaving him up there. Should we not be going down to the dock at all? Do we modify our lives for the dogs? So, you know, we had to kind of compromise. They, you know, they consulted the vet, of course, a little bit more based on the suggestions I saw from the dog, which was he wanted to go down the steps to the dock with them. He wanted to have them sit there with him and play ball on the deck, but not maybe dive into the water. So it was kind of breaking with the rules of what the vet thought was good based on, you know, kind of some bad x-rays. But then we, you know, the dog's heart was breaking, which, you know, then we're spiraling into this whole other place of everybody feeling awful. So we worked it out. Vet felt okay about it, not totally happy, but acknowledged, look, they've got a heart and you got to keep their mind and heart happy and not just take care of a body. So modifying exercise is important, and really use your intuition. You know, if they suddenly go, they loved walking, and all of a sudden they're starting to slow down, they're wanting to turn around, then they're telling you, I'm hurting. So go back. Don't get into this whole cycle where we always do it this way. Oh, it's okay. You're not going to do it that way anymore. So modify, especially exercise. The other thing that's important is exposure to the elements. As you age, you know, you might become heat sensitive, or you may find the cold is not easy to bear. We all have that sensation, right? So dogs and animals, horses, all every animal I've ever spoken to has that happen to them. The cat that needs the sunlight during the day. So maybe you used to lock him out of a certain room and he's clawing at the door. Well, it turns out the sunlight hits that room pretty hard in the morning and maybe his thyroid isn't quite up to snuff. You, of course, want to consult with the vet about the blood work. But sometimes sunlight helps stimulate our endocrine system. So the cat knows what he needs. He's just trying to get to the sun. So maybe start to open the door and see how they do. And you might have to modify even how you use a room. It depends on how much you want to change your life for your animal. And you have to, you're part of the equation. So evaluate, do we always do it that way, or do we, and do we want to continue to do it that way? And if you realize that your animal's asking a question when maybe he's wrecking a door, it's because maybe he has a body need like heat or cold. I spoke to another woman, and her dog wanted to be outside all the time in the winter in the Northeast. And it was a dog that kind of hated the cold when it was younger, but its endocrine system had aged. Something was different. So I suggested she get a thyroid test done with the vet and chat with the vet about other things that could be wrong. And she said, well, I just feel so guilty leaving him out there on the, you know, on the ground in the cold. And I said, well, you know what? He's boiling inside, and it feels heavenly to go out there. Now, the fact that he's boiling inside is, you know, a little scary, and we're not sure what that's about. So let's make, you know, do some medical care here. But the fact that he's boiling, he feels better when he's outside, let go of the idea that you're somehow being neglectful. So heat and cold, and the other thing I'm going to add to that is hydration. Sometimes they need water differently than they needed water before, and they may even need electrolytes, because potassium, magnesium, calcium, our needs, how we use that as well as the salts in our body changes as we age. And sometimes what was fine a month ago is very different now. So don't be afraid. Don't be rigid. Like, I always do it this way. It's always worked before. Sounds good, but they just aged maybe 7 years in the last year, so always doesn't count anymore. It's a new day. So that takes the stress out of it if you just stay flexible. The other thing is general stressors, like you're departing might stress out your dog with separation anxiety. What do you do about that? You know, how do you make it easier for them as they maybe are starting to get a little cloudy in their thinking and getting a little more anxious? You know, you might have to have, I don't know, a person stop in the middle of the day to ease their discomfort, let them out more frequently if that's a stressor for them. Maybe they can't hold it all day long anymore. The other stressors are the other animals in the house. Are they bugging them? We have a family of dogs that the one young dog kind of bothers the old one as the day goes on. So we just have her in the middle of the day go into a little crate, which she likes. She sleeps in it. It's her home. And we have her go, though, for a couple hours. We give her a treat. She falls asleep and kind of doesn't care. We felt guilty about it at first. But it gives the older dog a chance to sort of not be stressed by the younger dog's antics all the time. So everybody kind of has a couple hours of just downtime, and we make it really nice for the younger dog with treats and how fun. And then it's playtime when we pull the younger dog out of the crate. For the dog, we give him satisfaction and joy, like, yay, that was good. So think about all this stuff because you'll know the answer. Their diet is huge. As you get older, I don't know, but if you think about what you used to be able to eat when you were younger, when you were a kid, you know, candy and jelly rolls and cookies, and you know, and then when you're a teenager you can't really do that anymore because you start to get fatter when you do that. And then when you get every decade you start to realize, oh, I can't really eat lobster anymore, it upsets my stomach, and I no longer go to fast food restaurants because I feel ill afterwards, and it turns out they're not so great for me because they have a lot of chemicals in them. So okay, you know, we get wiser and wiser about what we can do and what we can eat. And I meet so many people that feed their dogs the same thing that they fed them when they were young. But they've aged so much. Your 7-year-old dog is probably like a 50-year-old person. So start to look at diet choices. It's so important because the organs, the blood, everything needs good nutrition. And if they're not able to access that nutrition like they could when they were young and eat the stuff they ate when they were young, then it's time to look at, you know, maybe homemade food or dehydrated food, or, you know, change it up. Maybe you need to buy a different, higher quality kibble than the one you've been feeding, because we can't get away with the stuff we did when we were younger, nor can they at all. And the thing about that is food that isn't nourishing your body is probably inflaming your body. And that's true of all of us on this planet. It either nourishes your body or it inflames your body. So anything that's inflammatory, you know, from allergies to arthritis, skin problems, all of that has to do with something inflaming their body. So it might be that the beef you always fed them, maybe now you have to switch to turkey. I mean, one of the things I do is help people figure that out because I can apply kinesiology to it and muscle testing. Certainly ask your vet, ask anyone that's wise about nutrition of animals, you know, what's the better thing to do. You certainly have to usually upgrade the quality of the dog food minimally. And as they get even older yet, maybe when they head into being a geriatric, just think about what a really old person eats. You know, you can't have a steak probably when you're 80. God willing, if you want it, you want it. Or a piece of lobster. Maybe you're kind of into the soup mode. So, I don't know, I make soup for my old dogs once a week. It's what I decided to do. It doesn't mean you have to do that. But I feel great about it, and they keep their weight up and look healthy, and, you know, all goes well. So, lots of homemade diets and recipes can be found on the internet, and if you look up how to feed your dog naturally at home, which are really not that expensive, and honestly, it's super easy to do because they don't care if it's presented perfectly. You can just cook it all up for them, and they're happy, or make extra from your plate to theirs, kind of thing. So the less processed, the better in general as animals and people get older, and I think it's probably true when we're younger, too, but somehow we get away with it a little longer. But the less processed the food is, the more nutritionally valuable it is. And that gets huge when you're an older body looking for maximum amount of nutrition and maximum value from everything that you eat. So that really cannot be understated or overstated. It's just a fact. It's huge. So we're going to take a few minute break here now. You're listening to Laura Rowley, and this is Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. We'll be back in a few more minutes with some more practical suggestions on the aging pet.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you'd prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rally believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LAURARROWLEY healer.com.
Energy flows all around and within our bodies. It's the life force that nourishes, heals, and keeps us going. So how do we replenish and improve our life force? This is what Energy Medicine Weekend is all about. Explore the life-enhancing powers of energy medicine with leaders in the field, including Donna Eden, David Feinstein, and Sue Mortar. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Energy Medicine Weekend at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, October 4th to 6th. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. I'm Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. And today we're having a discussion about our aging loved ones. Oh, what happens when our animals get old? It happens so fast. That's the topic. One day they're young, and then they age maybe 7 years, 5 years, depends, for every year of our life. So we all of a sudden weren't noticing or didn't really want to see that maybe, uh-oh, it's time to think differently. So we're going through some nuts and bolts ideas here about what's the best thing to do while we're watching it and what we can be thinking about. So one thing to consider is chemicals and the exposure that they might be experiencing. You know, they lay on our floors. So if we use chemicals on our floors, they're kind of breathing that all the time. Now, sometimes that's okay, but if you have an animal that has some sort of allergy or a skin condition, it might aggravate it. Same with vaccines. How many times do they have to be vaccinated? Ask your vet that question. You know, of course, we have to follow laws of states, but sometimes those are set up rigidly to protect the common population. But if your animal never leaves home and, you know, you're giving full volume spectrum vaccines twice a year as if they were going to a boarding kennel or as if they were at doggy day camp anymore, maybe you don't need to do all of them anymore, or you could spread them out based on your veterinarian's recommendations. You know, because vaccines alter our immune system. That's what they're designed to do, and they save us from many a disease. But they have a downside in that we're exposing ourselves and themselves to vaccines. Gosh, there's lots of disputes and controversies about that that are well beyond the scope of this show. But it's good to be thoughtful about it. If you have a sensitive animal, maybe you need to be sensitive about, you know, the drugs they're on, the vaccines they're taking. The chemicals that they're exposed to in drugs might be helpful, like, you know, like an NSAID or some sort of pain reliever. Or maybe you can find something that's gentler, like adding turmeric or, you know, there's a lot of herbal remedies, boswellia, ashwagandha, that help animals with low-grade chronic pain so that maybe they only need the NSAID on a bad day or in a bad week when it's hurt. Maybe they'll, because gastrointestinally, chemicals are always hard on our bodies. You know, if I took an Advil or Tylenol, you know, three times a day or twice a day for 10 years, my digestive tract and my liver would probably notice that. So same thing happens to them. So if they're in terrible pain, of course you want to mediate that. You know, no one wants to be in pain, and we can't bear to think that they're in pain. But maybe you could do some things to lower the threshold of how often they need that breakthrough medicine by using some herbal remedies, homeopathics. There's plenty of things out there that just help, again, lower that inflammatory process. The lower it is, the less likely you are to feel pain. The less likely they are to feel pain is really what I'm saying. So countless times I'll work with someone who knows that they're giving, you know, they're aging. In this case, just a couple days ago, it was a horse. And she said, I feel like I have to give her so much pain relief because she had a really bad ankle And it was kind of a disaster. There wasn't anything to do with it anymore medically. And the horse was really well otherwise and wanted to have a baby and live in a field as a retirement horse. So they were really weighing what to do. So they contacted a veterinarian who practiced holistic or natural medicine and, you know, said, help us come up with, a formula that is not so hard on her. And then when it got cold, they had to give the stronger medication. And that worked out really well for years of that horse's life. And we had a little touch-base conversation, I don't know, twice a year usually with this horse, like, is it still working? Are you still comfortable? But often what I found was the person who was their caretaker knew pretty much the answer before I told them what the horse was thinking. And I think that's an important point here, is lots of times ask yourself, you know, how am I doing with this? And you'll usually know. Like, they seem pretty comfortable. Their eyes are happy and glowy. You know, they're wagging their tail. They're coming to the gate for food. They're, you know, they want to be petted and sit on my lap, whatever the normal realm is. When they start to withdraw from you, lots of times pain makes us withdraw. You know, it's just how it is. Or makes us crabby. So lots of times when you start to see crabby behavior from your animal, and everybody knows what that looks like, every breed and species has a different, you know, quality of crabby. Well, it's probably something that has to do with pain if they're elderly. So ask yourself, well, what can I do to amp this up? Try something for a couple days. And if it works, well, there you go. Certainly always ask a veterinarian. That goes without saying. I don't think I need to keep repeating that. But I do think lots of times we can be pretty good home husbandry people if we just say, you know what, I can figure this out a little bit. What did we do yesterday? Was it too much? Or has something changed that's amplifying this? And you'll kind of get a gut feeling. You'll get an intuitive thought. And suddenly you'll think, I'm not going to go down the stairs anymore. I'm going to take the long way like a ramp. And we'll see how that goes for a couple days. So play with that. And don't be afraid to play with the normal things that you do that have to do with their care. These nuts and bolts kind of things like food, diet, exercise, chemicals, drugs, vaccines. It's all up for review, as it should be. That's just how you have to run your own life as you get older, so do the same thing for them. It's pretty easy once you get into it, and you don't have to make yourself crazy with it. You'll just discover they're happy, you're happy, good. Then you'll feel wonderful. You'll feel really joyful. You'll feel like you are a caretaker extraordinaire, which they want us to be happy in that role. They don't want to feel victim-y. They don't want to feel, I mean, hands down, any animal I talk to, they don't want to feel like a victim to their age. It's a beautiful thing that you've had this relationship with them. They want to feel, yay, we got it figured out for a few more days or a few more weeks, and time marches on, and they want to feel like they're not a drain, but an asset to you continually. So don't get carried away with the caretaker role. That's the second part of this. don't make it be about you. I caretake this dog. Makes that dog feel old. It also makes that dog feel like a burden. And that never feels good. And I honestly get that a lot from the animals where people are fussing too much with the caretaker role. So it's kind of a balance, right, to figure out how much is enough and how much is too much. And I don't want you to make yourself crazy with all those nuts and bolts lists I gave you. But I recently just was at a barn. And I was speaking to a very elderly horse who in his day was a famous jumper in locally and had given the people great joy. And they retired him and he was there forever. And he didn't need to even be ridden anymore if he didn't want to, whatever he wanted. So he lived in a palace of a stall. It was beautiful. Fresh shavings, fresh water. They brought him in before the flies bothered him at 10 in the morning. They put, you know, fly spray on him. They took great care of him. So I asked them how it was going because they were thrilled that I was there because that was who they wanted to talk to first. Not the younger horses that still had jobs and were working, but this elder guy, was he still a happy guy? So he said, well, this is all ridiculous. I don't want to be in the stall. And I said, well, they like you here. You don't want to be here? You always lived in the stall because that's what they told me to say. And he said, no, I feel so much better when I walk around all the time because my hips ache standing still. And I find that when I'm outside all day, even though the flies bother me, I'm a horse. I can handle the flies. Tell them to buy me a sheet that they can put over me. They're called fly sheets that all have beautiful straps and work lovely. It's like this nice little piece of netting. Leave me out there. I don't care if I'm sweating or hot. I feel gross when I'm inside. So I said that to the woman who ran this meticulous barn, beautiful. She was so conscientious. And she said, well, I can't do that. Look how, you know, this is how we do things here. So that's a mistake. Whenever we start to inject what we think they need into what they prefer. He had been telling her for quite some time, and then she said, you know, actually, when we go to get him now, when the flies come out at 10 in the morning to rescue him from the flies, he won't come. He walks away from the girls, and they can't catch him. He pins his ears when they do catch him and lets them know, like, I'm not really liking this. But we always think, oh, something must be bothering him is pinning his ears. And I said, well, what's bothering him actually is that you're catching him. So that didn't sit well with her. It bothered her a little bit. But then she realized, you know what, I am just wanting it to be how I want it to be. She was being a bit rigid and overdoing the caretaker role where she was fluffing everything perfectly for him. And he said, let me be outside with, you know, grass. So then she had a great idea. She said, well, does he want a friend out there? As show horses, sometimes they don't put them out in groups because they can hurt each other kicking or biting. And she said, he's always been alone. So that was good intuition on her part. She leapt from feeling rigid to thinking, well, what can I do and how can I make this better? So I said to the horse, what do you think about a buddy? So the next thing you know, the next time I speak to them, there will be some sort of a pony or a donkey or some little creature that's going to live out there with him, because he was completely thrilled with the idea. Like, outside with another animal under the tree, wonderful, because then my hips won't ache and my ankles won't ache and I'll feel better because I can move when I need to move on my terms. And so everybody was super happy at the end of that conversation. So the trick is to be like a caretaker, but also to let go if they're showing you they want to do something kind of weird and out of the norm. Because feeling like the ultimate caretaker can sometimes be about us not embracing the situation, but us feeling like our needs are being met, not theirs. We want to feel like we're good caretakers. Well, let go sometimes. That's being a good caretaker. And so it's kind of the bottom line is asking yourself, you know, is it their suffering that I'm worried about or me feeling like I'm good at addressing their suffering? And everyone, I know when I phrase it that way, would say, well, I want to address their suffering. I know that we all know that after the fact or in hindsight. But sometimes we get a little too carried away with wanting to feel like somehow we've managed things perfectly so we get a little star and we feel like, yay, I'm a good person. When sometimes being a good person means just leaving it alone a little bit. So we ask ourselves, do they need help? We think about that. Then we think about their suffering. And lots of times they let us know what it is. A poodle I spoke to recently, a big standard fluffy, beautiful white poodle, cool dog, was always, she went around to nursing homes with her person. And they did work by visiting elder people. And suddenly, the dog stopped wanting to act like she wanted to get in the car. It used to be a big party, like when you got out the leash to go to there, and the dog all of a sudden started acting like, I don't want to do it. So I asked her why, and she said that she wanted shorter sessions with the people, and she just was trying to let her mother know it was starting to make her feel too sad to be around older people because she was starting to feel old herself. And she was sort of empathizing with them too much. In other words, she didn't really have the strength to be the young dog that bounded in to see the older people to go, yay. She had to sort of like kind of limp in, and it made her feel like, oh, I'm as old as they are, and I don't feel too good either. And she started to sort of vibrate too much with the empathy of their feelings. So we adjusted her schedule so that she did less, and she started to get right back in the car again. She started to enjoy it again, and she wanted to feel useful. And they're just like us. Sometimes they'll, you know, caretaking other people can be hard, and she was a caretaker. So she was getting exhausted from being a caretaker too much. And so, you know, like that really worked out to everyone's joy and pleasure because she didn't want to retire. She just wanted to do less. And I would say that that is almost always what animals tell me. I don't want to retire. I just want them to notice that sometimes this is hard on me. So you have amazing intuitive wisdom and thoughts about your animals. Just listen to them, because I would say almost all those people that call me with that problem of an aging pet usually have already kind of considered the solution themselves and just really are using me to kind of confirm what they already know. And so thank you for listening. You're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Do you sometimes feel like your life is a series of problems to be solved rather than an adventure to open to? Do your challenges often bring up fear, worry, anxiety, and confusion rather than empowering you to your core? Explore powerful tools and techniques offered by Mary O'Malley in her new book, What's in the Way is the Way, and experience ease, peace, joy, and a deep trust in this amazing adventure called life. To find out more about what Mary offers, visit her website at maryomalley.com.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. I'm Laura Rowley, and this is Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. And you're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Thank you for joining me. We're addressing the somewhat painful and difficult topic of how to be a responsible caretaker to our aging pets. So I think we have to talk about the one thing that nobody likes to talk about, and that is lots of times, what do you do with their suffering? Like, a lot of people call me and say, I'm wondering now if we're suffering so much that they would like me to help them cross over. You know, I've kind of gotten a message from someone or from myself or maybe from a veterinarian, well, that could be really painful. You know, they want to know how painful is it and is it time to put them to sleep? So that's a huge topic and probably a whole topic unto itself. And so much goes into that. What your heart tells you, what your spirit tells you, what your religious beliefs tell you, what your spiritual compass tells you. Because we're kind of playing God when we say we're going to help something cross over. So I always tell people, there's so much to think about there. You really have to go within your own heart and evaluate that thought. And don't let anybody else tell you what to think about it. Let you and your animal go together into that idea and just sit with it. And that might take a minute. It might take, you might wake up one day and go, you know what? I all of a sudden looked in his eyes and I felt him say to me, help me. Or it might take 6 months or a year while you figure it out together. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't let anybody shame you into, he doesn't look well, he's limping. You know, aren't you going to put him to sleep? You know, people say that to other people. Well, I always ask them, pretend it's your grandmother. Would you say that about your grandmother if she was limping? Now, if your grandmother stopped eating, if your grandmother quit talking, if your grandmother couldn't walk, well, that's another issue, right? But maybe it's time to kind of reevaluate things. So suffering, unfortunately, is part of what we do as we get older when it comes to the comfort of our physical bodies. I mean, I always have a myriad of things that I kind of am working through with my body, and so does everyone else I know. Everybody's always talking about what bothers them. So don't make it be that we're not supposed to suffer. Like, we all suffer. People say, oh, I can't let them suffer. Well, I don't know. I don't think they're expecting to have a life on earth in a physical body without a little suffering. It's, nor are you, nor am I. Like, it'd be great if I never hit a thing wrong or a headache or a pain, and I'm sure we would all say that about ourselves. Certain things, though, get to a place where they're so extreme and so severe that our body starts to shut down. Well, then that's a different idea, a different kettle of fish. But to think you have to preemptively prevent suffering is putting you in a pretty weird place, because if you look around, you know, I'd like to end the suffering of, you know, everyone on the planet who doesn't have enough food or comfort or love or joy or water or a place to sleep. You know, we can really let suffering drag us down. It is part of our existence on earth, and rising above it to do our best as in our world as we can is probably really what we can do. And then we help each other do the best that we can do. We join up with groups that are trying to help others and help ourselves. So that starts at home with our loved ones and our animals. You know, we can't really end it, the suffering, unless maybe it's so clear or the animal gives you a sense that they are done. And then you're faced with that moral responsibility, and I wouldn't even presume to tell you what to do there. But don't jump to it. Don't feel that you must participate as if you're all-knowing, or almost what I find is people almost want to get it over with because it's just such an awful thought. And the vet thinks it's time. So I'm going to just leave him there today because I tell him I love him, okay? I'll get calls like that. And, you know, the person is broken up and hurt and in pain saying that. And so am I, and so is the animal. I talked to a cat. This little cat's name was Margot. Adorable cat. It stopped eating, and it was doing really poorly. I won't go on and on about it, what was happening. It was ugly, but it hadn't eaten in many, many days, but they were giving it IV fluids, and it seemed like she was shutting down. And so I talked to Margot, and it turns out that they thought she was dying, but she had food poisoning that was aggravating a condition she already had. So she said, you know, I'm starting to feel better, actually. And I'm like, really? Because you haven't eaten anything in forever. And the cat was like, can they give me a few more days? So I asked the people to consider that. They did their evaluation. That's what they did. She started to nibble on food just a couple days later. And honestly, she was up and about in maybe 2 weeks. And really just was fine. I mean, survival is such a... ooh, it's such a deep thing. It's such an instinctual first chakra thing. Everybody wants to survive. And this cat still had a lot of survival instinct in it. And the woman said to me, I thought she wanted to keep going. And, you know, we were all worried we were just putting her through misery. So in that case, she just needed a few more days to show them, you know, I'm going to make it. Hang on with me. And she did. You know, there's no script for this. There's no easy way for this. So you kind of have to just use your good sense. Like, try to avoid drama about this. I know it's time. I should have known sooner. Like, there's a lot of healing lessons that are rich here during this time where you get to evaluate your fears. You get to contemplate on whether or not you're interfering with a natural process of dying, or if you're just afraid that it's going to be too painful, so you have to do it a certain way so that you feel okay about the script that you applied to the situation. So that gets tricky, and it's beautiful because you get to really examine your own needs and your own desires, what you are afraid of. Maybe you're afraid of dying, or maybe you don't know what happens to the other side, so you need to think about that yourself. Any animal I spoke to on the other side, because I am a medium as well as an animal communicator, and I speak to animals that have crossed over all the time, almost daily, I would say, and almost all the time, they are filled with joy and light and love. They're free of a physical body that doesn't serve them any longer, and now they get to serve the planet or their person better because they're free of those constraints. So it's always, I don't know, love and happiness and joy when I talk to them once they get to the other side. And how, this is maybe the most important thing I'm going to say about this topic, how they got to the other side usually doesn't bother them at all. Like, they don't say to me, oh my God, why did she wait another week? That was horrible and I hate her. Or why didn't he know I wanted to, you know, be put to sleep? Or why did he make me wait so that I crossed over by myself because it took weeks? Usually what they say is, I was happy to be with them during that time. I was joyful and full of love that I had such a beautiful life with that person. They don't really care if it took 2 days or 2 weeks. You know, I mean, obviously, if it's a horrible howling pain, that's different. But most of the time, they just go, yeah, we worked it out. And wasn't it nice we worked it out? Because we had a beautiful friendship. We had a beautiful love our whole lives. And we got to honor that by being together while he or she thought about what it meant to him. He or she embraced that love while I felt like I was helping them see how much the love meant to them. So that last chunk of time, however long that chunk of time is, can be hell on you, or it can be kind of blissful, where you really just be, we all know that we should be in gratitude for what we have. But if you are in gratitude because you know something, the clock is ticking, and all of a sudden it's all the sweeter, like you're about to lose your animal, but instead of thinking this is horrifying, I've got to do everything I can do to fix it, don't try to fix it. Just be there with them. Do everything you can in terms of pain management and so forth. Make good, solid decisions without the drama of thinking you have to fix it, you have to be the rescuer. No, they're not needing rescuing, they're dying. And that is just another process where we cross from one state of physical being into another state of physical being. It's a transition, very much like birth, which is a transition from being out of the physical being and into the physical being. Birth isn't usually too much fun either for any of us. But yet, later on, we don't really almost remember it. I don't remember, you know, my mother's contractions or my mother being in pain or me being in pain while I got squished out, right? We all got squished out into the world. Apparently, that probably hurts a little bit. And most animals that I talk to on the other side don't even really think or talk about the little details that worry us so much. You know, find a beautiful place that, you know, I really want him to be under that tree where we always were. I'll maybe invite the vet to come over and be with him. Or maybe I won't invite the vet to come over, but I'll sit with him every day under the tree until he's able to let go. Feel it. Be in it. It's a beautiful thing to honor another being, to honor another soul as they transition out of this world and into this world. And usually you'll just kind of know what feels right. Don't fear that. And if something gets so critical that it's awful and an animal seems to need some help, well, then contact a professional and get their opinion and just stay in your center about it. It's a sacred process. It's individual to each of us. And our fears can become interfering if we're not careful. Notice that the word interfere has the word fear almost in it. So keep yourself out of interference. And with time, things usually become crystal clear. And with professional help, things become even clearer. And stay in your center about it. And then think about afterwards, another thing I help people with is, would the animal like to be, you know, buried when this happens? Or would he like to be, you know, his ashes be put somewhere? Well, almost invariably, I'm happy to help them with that question, but it's almost always the same answer, which is, put me where you'll love thinking about me, where we shared something, or something that seems beautiful to you now. Like maybe if you did go to the pond with your dog every day or go for a certain walk on a certain path, they want to maybe be sprinkled there. Or if you like to sit out in your yard every day and you want to be able to think, oh, under that tree lies my beautiful dog, let it be there. In other words, put yourself in the process without getting dramatic about the process, because that's almost always the answer they give. That's what they want too. Like, we shared a life. How wonderful. We shared a life that was unconditional love. So let's not wreck that party with all this stuff at the end that has to do with all this fretting and worrying that we've done enough and we know where to put them. Let's just make it be a party. Let's make it be a celebration. And I think most people that I have the honor of helping with do a fantastic, fantastic job of doing that. They maybe need a little confirmation, a little help to make sure all is well. The animal sometimes will give them a little hint. So sit with your animal every day for a moment and ask them, what can I do better? How can I help you? And you might not hear their voice, but you might all of a sudden think, you know what? I'm at the grocery store an hour later, and I see this dog food. They might really like this dog food. In other words, you'll get guidance from someone about what to do. You'll bring it home, and they'll be in complete joy because it tastes so much better. They start eating better, and they feel better for a while. So let your guidance show you what the answer is. Sometimes it'll come in odd ways where you suddenly have an inspiration. Follow that inspiration. Give it a whirl. Trust yourself. Animals lead us into a place of trusting ourselves deeper. And that is really the blessing that they give us. So in turn, by trusting yourself, you're giving them a blessing back, because that's really what they're after. And you've been listening to Animal Connections with Laura Relly. I thank you so much today for your time and attention. It was a beautiful and difficult topic, and something that we'll be considering a little bit more in a little different depth in the future conversations. So this is Animal Connections with Laura Relly on Syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com, which is the media partner for the Omega Institute. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Relly. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Relly, go to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LauraRowley healer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.